Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, Packers fans. Welcome to another episode of the Green 19 podcast. Day two of the NFL draft is all wrapped up. The Green Bay Packers added four new players to the mix, starting with Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M, Javon Bullard, the safety out of Alabama. They got Marshawn Lloyd, a running back from USC, and Tyron Hopper, another linebacker out of Missouri. Ryan, I'm going to start with you. It felt like today was kind of, I guess, similar to day one, just addressing need. I mean, they definitely, we could talk about the individual picks, but, you know, they got a safety, which was certainly a shortcoming of their roster, at least heading into the offseason. They got linebackers, which they need, and they picked up a running back, which they need more running backs, actually. So did it just feel like Brian Gutekunst just checked off a bunch of boxes, or was there more to it when you look at day two?
Yeah, I don't want to overstate, because the reality is, we know this, we don't know anything for at least a year, because the bottom line is, can these guys play? And we're not going to know that for a year. We'll know that, we'll have a better gauge on that a year from now, but we don't know right now. The whole, yes, he's addressing a ton of needs. It's been ruthless the way that he's addressed needs.
I know.
I do get the sense that he's addressed needs with value, which is what you want to do. That's, as far as instant analysis goes, that's a good draft if you can address needs with value. And what gives me that sense is, let's start with the first-round pick. When they drafted Jordan Morgan, he was the sixth tackle that they drafted. The seventh tackle, Tyler Guyton, went four picks later. And then another tackle didn't go for 26 picks. There is very clearly a shelf life, even in this very deep tackle class, for where to get a premium tackle. And Brian Gutekunst felt like he needed to do that, and he got that at 25. Tonight, it was very apparent. You know, it's interesting. The Cooper DeGene, the Iowa defensive back, is on the board, and then the Philadelphia Eagles trade up to fight ahead of the Packers. And you sit and think, oh, well, maybe they traded back because of Cooper DeGene. No, Brian Gutekunst wanted linebackers from this draft. He's got Jeff Hafley, new defensive coordinator. He trades back, and he still gets the first – off-ball linebacker drafted in this class, Edgerrin Cooper. Third round, he gets Marshawn Lloyd, who Daniel Jeremiah, for what, you know, he's NFL Network's chief draft guru, says, in his opinion, the best running back in this class. Javon Bullard, second safety taken. So the Packers had a ton of options with a glaring need at safety. They took Javon Bullard. So they address needs, but in so many ways, they got value from those needs. Now, can those guys play? That's what it's all about.
Tom, let's start right at the top, because Ryan alluded to that trade for to move back a few picks. Yes, Cooper DeGene gets taken as the Eagles jump up and take DeGene at number 40. So the Packers right there at 41. Brian Gutekunst telling us that he was always planning to trade back, or had a couple picks before that, at least before knowing that he was going to do that. But they do go backward. They add to their haul. They're up to 13 picks overall as things stand right now in this draft, which is a ton of players. And they get a pretty good player, a guy who was brought in for a top 30 visit, a guy who I think a lot of people thought would be a pretty nice match for the Packers. So tell me, you know, I think of now Edgerrin Cooper with Quay Walker. I think of those Tampa Bay teams that gave the Packers so much trouble with Devin White and Lavonte David, you know, those two linebackers. I don't know if this is comparable, but it feels like they've kind of cultivated something with those two guys now.
Well, they've added speed, a lot of speed. I'm not so sure they have the type of, Mike linebacker that they probably need. Cooper and Walker are probably the same kind of linebacker. Walker's a little bigger, a little stronger. Cooper's probably more of a fly around type of a guy, but maybe not as much of a take on guy. So it remains to be seen. I mean, I would think that if it works out for them you know, they will have some combination of three or four linebackers who are playing there. You know, they could conceivably have Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker as the starters, and then Cooper comes in the nickel, and they have then they have two, you know, chase linebackers in the game. I don't know if those guys can play together, you know, on rundowns, if they're good enough to play that way. We'll find out. I mean, I'm sure they're going to take a look at that during the season. They just added some speed. I think they added some speed with Bullard, and I think they added speed with Hopper too. Whether they added, you know, a big thumper or whether that's going to have an impact on their run defense, which we all know has been a problem, that I can't tell you. I think we won't know that until they get to training camp and you can kind of see how physical some of these guys are.
So Ryan, Javon Bullard comes next. I think the biggest burst of energy in this group today was from Bullard. Great video of him reacting to finding out that he's going to be with the Packers. He seemed genuinely excited on the call. Has never been to Green Bay, doesn't know anything about it, but says, I expect to be there for a long time. We knew that we're going to get a safety at some point. He's the second safety off the board. I got to think they're pretty happy that they were able to get him where they were. That's a guy that, you know, I think at least the mock drafts I looked at, if when they put Bullard in the Packers orbit, it was with that earlier pick, with that pick number 41 even. So give me your thoughts on him.
Yeah, before I do, I want to stick on linebackers here for a moment, because I thought there's something I've been wondering since Spoon broke the news that they were transitioning to 4-3, was where's the Sam, right? Where's the Sam linebacker here? And they haven't drafted one. And tonight, Brian Gutekunst was asked about how he envisions those three when they are in base. And Brian Gutekunst keeps saying it's a 4-2-5 league. It's a nickel league, which is true. And this is going to be a nickel defense like every other defense in the NFL. But you still have a base defense that you need to field, right? Even if it's 15-20% snaps, that's a significant bulk of snaps. So Brian Gutekunst said in his mind that he wants him to be interchangeable. He does not want the prototypical, you know, you're the Will, you're the Mike, you're the Sam. He wants them to all be interchangeable. And the reason I asked him why that is, and the reason is because he doesn't want to sacrifice speed. Usually when you have the Sam, he's a bigger guy, takes a lot of the take on linebacker, as Spoon alluded to. I'm curious, Spoon, what you thought of his answer too, but he's that bigger, not great running linebacker. And Brian Gutekunst prioritized speed. He wants his guys to be sideline to sideline. He feels really good right now about the speed of the top four linebackers on his depth chart. It's fair to ask, okay, is that going to be a problem when it comes to the run defense? Because you play base when they're in the 4-3 is not to cover the pass. It's going to be to stop the Detroit Lions run game, right? That's when they're going to be in base. But that's what Brian Gutekunst envisions. He didn't prioritize, let's go find a Sam. Let's have one for each of these specialized positions. He wants speed in his linebacking core, and that's what he went to get. So, Spoon, I'm curious what you think of that and if that's going to be an issue. But I get why he's doing that. He wants the speed.
You know, well, Sam linebackers come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. The 49ers, for instance, they were using Oren Burks, the old Packers linebacker, who's a 235-pound linebacker, to be their Sam. You know, they just wanted somebody who could run with the tight end, who could cover a back out in the flat. You know, again, it's for – you know, if you play 60 snaps in a game, it's probably for 12 snaps that he's on the field. But, you know, that's still significant. I think you could see them. I could see Halfley in certain situations playing with three safeties maybe. Or they could use Cooper to cover tight ends and cover backs. You know, now he's not going to be able to take those guys on in the run game as well. You know, even Burks could probably do that better than Cooper would. So I'm not sure how they would figure that out. But, you know, it's sort of one of those things is you sort of adjust to the talent that you have. They will probably add another linebacker, I think. You know, I think they're going to add maybe two more linebackers before this is all said and done. They want as many linebackers as possible because, you know, because now they're a 4-3 and they want guys who can play special teams. So I'm going to wait till the end of the draft to see where he goes with this. But, you know, they got the basis for two guys in the middle, and that's what they need the most. And then they got to figure out, you know, maybe they can do it with a veteran, maybe they can do it with Cooper, maybe they can do it with Walker. I don't know, but you know, that's kind of Halfley's problem.
It's worth noting with Tyron Hopper, I thought it was very significant. Brian Gutekunst said that on the stopwatch time for his 40, they had him high 4.5s, and out there on the interwebs, you look it up and it's 4.68. So they have him significantly faster than that. But JR, it comes back to the word interchangeable, which brings us back to Javon Bullard. Because the Packers, again, other than Tyler Newbin, who went before the Packers could pick at 58, they had their pick of the litter when it came to safeties. And they picked Javon Bullard. Assistant Director of College Scouting Pat Moore said that he's interchangeable, which is what Brian Gutekunst said before the draft. He wanted to remain at safety as two interchangeable pieces instead of your typical strong and weak, you know, two very different types. He wanted the guys – is two to be similar, and they, you know, they feel like Bullard is the type that can do a lot. The reason they were drawn to him was his versatility, especially his ability to play in the nickel. And they feel like it's a good mix with Xavier McKinney, who they want to do a lot as well. So, you know, Bowler's a guy that ran high 4.4s. You know, we'll see if he's a player or not, but he's a fit with McKinney in terms of being able to remain interchangeable.
All right. Then they did take another play around offense with Marshawn Lloyd, Tom, who is Daniel Jeremiah of NFL.com. If you're watching NFL.com's coverage, called him the best running back in the draft. He was, there weren't many that had come off the board. I know Jonathan Brooks was off the board at that point, but that's a pretty bold statement. He's only 5'8", but 220 pounds, can catch passes, we think, out of the backfield. Didn't have to do that a lot at USC, but seemed – he certainly had success when he was called upon to do that. So that does seem to be a fit with what the Packers love to do. I think they got to be pretty happy that they were able to get him where they were. What are your thoughts about Marshawn Lloyd, Tom?
Well, the first thing that pops up to me is that he was kind of a fumbler in college. So I think he had 8 fumbles. He had 3 fumbles last year. That always scares me when I'm evaluating a running back, because once a fumbler, always a fumbler. And that's something, you know, Gutekunst said they did look into it. They did study it, try to find out, you know, why it was. And, you know, you can be coached to be, you know, have better ball security. But that part would scare me a little bit. His size would also be a little bit, you know, he's only 5'9", but he is 220 pounds. I think he is basically a complement to Josh Jacobs. Like, I don't think he's going to be, he could be a third down back. He could be a guy who they bring in with Jacobs and maybe split him out. He seems to have decent hands. He averaged like 13 yards per catch, which is pretty good for a running back, even though he didn't have that many receptions. But he's a bigger guy, and I think they, you know, he's got a chance. It's just that fumbling thing is, you know, when you draft a guy, you want a guy who hasn't fumbled in like 1,000 snaps or something like that. You know, that's what you hope you get. But they saw enough of other stuff from him. He's fast. You know, he can get around the edge, which is kind of what they need. You know, that's what they got from Aaron Jones. He could bounce it to the outside and get around the edge. And that's something like A.J. Dillon can't do. So I think from that standpoint, they got what they needed in that regard.
Ryan, Tom said he expects a ton of linebackers to still get taken on day three. I think there's probably more running backs in the future. I mean, if they're going to keep all eight picks, they can do whatever they can get a whole team. But do you think this is it at running back, or do you still think that they're going to add to that room?
I think there's more offensive linemen in the picture. I think that Gutekunst is going to try to work the scouting department, sorcery magic, whatever you want to call it, and find another gem day three at that position. Because I think he wants to add competition there. Yeah, you know, if they pick a running back again, it wouldn't surprise me. Linebacker for sure. The biggest need that they haven't drafted in the first five picks is corner. But Brian Gutekunst has told us so many times that, like, at some point we got to listen to him, that he feels pretty good about the makeup of his cornerback position right now. Sure looks like Carrington Valentine is going to get a lot more snaps again this season. You wonder about how Eric Stokes' injuries will hold up, how his body will hold up. But he feels good about corner. He told us Thursday night, you know, after drafting Jordan Morgan, that he felt good about the room. So I don't know that we can say it's a surprise that they haven't drafted one yet. It is, and Spoon, you asked the question at the end that I was going to ask, which was, gosh, this is another bloated class. On Monday, Brian Gutekunst says, basically, I'm going to lie to you, this is all subterfuge. And then he says, I want 12, 13, 14 picks, not just 11. Well, he's got 13 picks right now. He's got eight on day three. Brian Gutekunst also said Monday that the roster number, I think it was 72 going in the draft, was higher than he usually likes. But he also wanted more picks. I think right now they have room after the draft. They stick and they keep their 13 picks to have like five UDFAs. This is the youngest roster in the league last year. And it is another bloated class. And you might see a lot of draft picks cut at the end of camp and put on the practice squad. You know, it's a roster that's very bloated with draft picks. I think it's very interesting.
I mean, last year's draft class was pretty big too. I think it's kind of a minor miracle
yeah.
that only Lou Nichols of all of those guys was cut. They're all still here. So I don't know if you can turn that feat twice if it's only so many roster spots to go around. Tom, we'll talk about Tyron Hopper a little bit, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. If because Ryan mentioned cornerback, do you feel like the Packers have missed any opportunities here, that there's still positions that they maybe could have addressed sooner? Maybe it's going after another offensive lineman in one of these, you know, with these four second or third round picks. Is there anything you feel like the Packers have maybe left undone to this point?
Well, I do think they're going to have to add some corners. Like, you know, I thought they had a chance really at the point that they traded back. Was kind of a run on corners. You know, it started with Cooper DeJean when Philadelphia moved up. And then, from there, I think it was Kool-Aid McKinstry got taken. Then Max Melton was gone. And then Kamari Lassiter was gone. And so in that group, you know, if they were going to stay, if they really thought they needed a corner, that was the time to do it. And I kind of thought they might stick around and take Max Melton, but, you know, he's kind of a slot corner and they believe in Keyshawn Nixon. I think they will add some corners. I just think every draft you have to add corners. You have to do something at that and build that position, because I don't know how much you can rely on Eric Stokes, and I don't know how much you can rely on Jair Alexander to be there for 17 games. So I do think that's something they're going to have to address. You know, I think Bullard has the ability to play some slot. He did that in college. So they might be able to do that with three, you know, safeties. Anthony Johnson did that in college as well. So they have a little bit of flexibility there in case something happens with injuries. But I would still expect them to address corner.
I mean, they did take a seventh rounder last year in Carrington Valentine, and he is 100% in the mix. So maybe they find a gem on day three that they can get into that rotation right away. Ryan,
JR, I was thinking that myself. I was thinking, gosh, they might have missed the boat. They're day three now, and they haven't taken a corner. I'm like, oh, yeah, Carrington Valentine played pretty well as a seventh-round rookie. So it is possible. Like, it can be done. I don't know if you expect lightning to strike twice in the same spot again, but you can't say it's impossible. We just saw it.
Yeah, for sure. So Ryan, I will ask you about Tyron Hopper, who I think is kind of all the guys, maybe the one guy that was a surprise to go in the second or third round, who being toward the end of the third round, another linebacker out of Missouri. He, you know, like he said he expected to go here, maybe the fourth round. That seems like, I guess, again, if you go with mock drafts, which I know they're nonsense, that's, you know, that could be seen as a little bit of a reach. So what do you, what about him stands out to you?
Well, that's why you don't go with mock drafts. That's what stands out.
I know.
He was not a surprise to be taken where he was by Brian Gutekunst. Pete Doherty, I believe, asked him, did you get five of your top 50 on your board like you had wanted to with these picks? And he said that every single player they got was within the first two rounds on their board. So they had a second round grade on Tyron Hopper. You know, another guy that can run. I think the story of this night is specifically the linebacker position. As Spoon mentioned, when they took Edrin Cooper, the draft was in the run on corners. Brian Gutekunst came into this night wanting specifically to overhaul the second level of his defense. He knew that they were transitioning from 4-3 or from 3-4 to 4-3. I asked him this specifically, and he kind of he didn't go with this idea, but I have a hard time thinking that the last game that he just played, that he saw his team play, was in San Francisco, that runs a similar scheme to Jeff Hafley, and is anchored in that scheme by Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. And Dre Greenlaw has two picks. Fred Warner's Fred Warner. That 49ers defense, the heart and soul, is their linebacking core. If you've got a similar system, linebacker is foundational to what Jeff Hafley does. It's extremely important. He had to not just add bodies there, but talent. And he wanted to be fast. He wanted to have speed. Tyron Hopper, the Packers clocked him with that high 4.5s. He's another, in their opinion, he's another speed guy, another guy that can really get around the field. And that's going to – Brian Gutekunst believes it's extremely important for that position to be able to do that.
Tom, any thoughts on any players that are still on the board? I know we're barely, like, trying to come up for air here. I don't know if you guys even know which guys are gone off of the board. I'm looking at the board right now. But is there anything anybody that jumps out to you as a day three? Cedric Gray is another linebacker who's still out there. TJ Tampa is a guy that I think a lot of people thought would be taken by now. I mean, you could even go running back like Braylon Allen of Wisconsin. I don't think fourth round would be a reach for him by any means, but he's a guy who's still on the board. You're looking through your stuff to see.
Yeah, I'm going through my stuff because I can't, the names just run together.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys who I still think there's some offensive linemen out there that we might see them take. I was just writing down a few guys who are possible. You know, I think we could see someone like a couple. There's still a couple of safeties that they might take a look at. Chris Edmonds from Arizona State is still out there. Trying to think who else is. Keen Dent from Florida State, he's still out there.
Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest, if you're looking for a safety.
Yeah. You know, there's a few players like that. I think we're going to get into after, going into the fourth round and beyond, a lot of guys that we don't really know a whole heck of a lot about. And, you know, but that's where these guys do have to do their best work. I still think there's some quality safeties. I think they'll continue to look at that. And I think they'll continue to look at some inside linebackers. And then, you know, the offensive position, there's always a second tier of wide receivers that I would bet that he's going to take a couple of chances on a wide receiver at some point. or at least a chance on a wide receiver somewhere. Have too many of those guys, and you know, sometimes you can get a guy who's different than some of the other guys you have. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. One thing that I don't know if we're wrapping up or if you're doing what you're doing, but
we've got all night, man. Let's go.
All right.
We do not have all night.
Before the as we got going in the second day, I started looking at how the Packers took a very different tact than their division cohorts. So Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, all moving up, going after players, and the Packers sitting back and waiting for the board to come to them. Like at the start of the day, the Packers had six picks up to number 170. So they had their very first pick was a and then they had one, two, three, four, five, six picks up to the fifth round, number 170. The rest of the division had one, two, three, four, five picks. So from the point of the start of the second round to the end of the fourth round, the Packers had six picks and the rest of the division had five. You know, Detroit was pretty much sitting out after it took its second round pick. Its next pick was fifth. Chicago has a third and a fourth and they're done. Minnesota took a fourth, has to wait until the fourth to take a pick. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out, you know, with all the picks the Packers add versus, you know, the moves these other teams made to get up in the draft and take some guys that they really wanted. Who's going to be right? I don't know, but I thought it was an interesting aspect of the draft.
Yeah, the old idea that you can't get enamored with any one player or any three or four players. You throw a bunch of things at the wall, see what sticks, and you got to do that. You know, you got to have a lot of picks for that to happen. The Bears, of course, famously, were down to just three picks after their machinations on day one. So it's a much more focused change to their roster, whereas the Packers have a lot of options at this point. Ryan, I'll give you the floor if you have any last thoughts before we send you away, before we get set to sleep and then hit day three.
Sleep. That's my only thought.
I understand. I hear that actually. Tom, anything else that you want to throw in?
That's it.
Let's go. All right. That was day two of the NFL draft. Stick with us. We got lots of stuff for you at PackersNews.com. Bios of all the players that have been selected. Tom Dombeck is here helping us out with a lot of that. Some social reaction stuff. Really cool reaction from Javon Bullard. And I'll also have more for you analysis from this day, as well as all the picks coming tomorrow. There's eight of them. I would expect that we'll get some trades, but maybe not.
You better. I'm not sitting through eight picks tomorough.
Brian Gutekunst is, you know, we're getting more and more as the sample size gets longer of his blueprint, his imprint as a drafter. He's a volume shooter. Now, I won't take too much time explaining this because I think Spoon just did it very well, but he is a volume shooter. He does subscribe to the more, as he said Monday, more at bats means more opportunity for hits.
And I draw the limit at six picks on the third day. Once after six picks, I'm out of here. I don't care. You go take those seventh rounders and someone else can write about them. But
Spoon,
six picks and I'm out.
My fearless leader, I will follow you in that charge.
Yeah, I don't care about any seventh rounders.
That's going to leave me here covering the last three or four players at the Packers.
That's fun. All right, we'll be back with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green 19 podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Like and subscribe. We're there with our smiling faces. If you just want to hear us in your typical podcast places, that's fine too. Find us in those spots. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye, everybody.
Step Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at TraceMinerals.com.